We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A deeper team than last year. Adding John Tavares in the offseason, just a multi-level, multi-layered game changer. And they've been able to utilize William Nylander, the younger player, Alex's brother, obviously, center instead of wing on the third line. And it's been passable. It's been good.
That is Greg Brady from the Fan 590 in Toronto. Was on with Sal the other day. Leafs and Bruins tonight in Game 7. By the way, you can hear the game right here on WGR. You need to listen to the game. Go Bruins. All right, we've been talking NFL draft. 803-0550. We'll continue taking your calls on that. Want to get in a little hockey talk, too, as a follow-up on the Sabres coach watch. And a name that cropped up over the weekend, Rickard Granberg, who is currently the coach of the Swedish national team. You know it's big when we put in sound effects. Sabres Coach Watch brought to you by Straight Up Wines and Liquors. Go straight up Elmwood to Washington and Kenmore for saving, selection, and service. And he will be coaching in the upcoming World Championship. So, Brayton, you've got a piece up at WGR550.com. I was doing a little research on Granberg last night, too. We'll share some facts about him. But who is, let's start with, because his name was brought up, I'm sorry, by Scott Burnside over the weekend from a piece he did at The Athletic. He had mentioned that once McClellan took the Kings job, that Granberg's name fell into the mix, was put in the mix with the Sabres. Who is Rickard Granberg?
It's kind of a out-of-the-box candidate for the Sabres just because that he has spent the last 13 years with the Swedish national program. But he has past experience coaching in North America. He's been an assistant in numerous places. The most recent place was with Spokane in the Western Hockey League, but he's been a head coach in the, what's the league here? What is it called? The American West Hockey League, which is now merged with like the North American third tier league. But yeah, I mean, Granberg would certainly be an interesting candidate for me just because that he has had success at an international level with Sweden having a culmination of different players on that roster. And I think that he certainly would be an interesting name in the candidate or in the race, but is he going to be the lead candidate? I don't think so.
I thought the one thing that's, I read a whole bunch of articles I could find on Rickard Granberg so I could find out a little bit more about the guy. And I learned a few different things. One, his contract is up. So he's coaching the Swedish national team, but his contract is up, I assume, after the World Championships are done, which would be mid-May-ish. There was a tweet that he wouldn't want to even be available to a team until after he gets through his commitment with Sweden at the World Championships. But he is a got dual citizenship. He is both a citizen of Sweden and the United States. His wife is from Salt Lake City, and they want to move back to the United States. There was some talk that he might actually put his name in the ring for the opening at St. Cloud State, where he played college hockey up in Minnesota, I think is where St. Cloud State is, that he would put his name in for that. Did not see anything else on that. But he did interview last year for the Rangers job, and they ended up hiring David Quinn from Boston University. So he's talked to NHL teams before. He's interviewed for at least the Rangers job last year. He does want to get to the States. His contract is up. But he did say, he had an interesting quote. I found a piece written a year ago by Chris Johnston, right around this time last year, you know, when teams were going through their coaches' searches. And he spoke to Granberg. No coach from Europe has been hired by an NHL team since the 2000-2001 season. And Granberg said he would have to find a general manager willing to, quote, stick his neck out a little bit. Jeremy, that's the quote that stuck with me. I don't know that I'm wondering if Jason Bottrell, knowing the importance of this hire, because the first guy bombed and the roster doesn't look very good, if Bottrell would be, quote, willing to stick your neck out higher and take a gamble on, if he feels it's a gamble, on a European coach coming to the NHL. I'm open for anything. I could care, you know, European, North American, wherever you find the guy. But if that's what it takes, a GM to do that, I'm not sure that Bottrell would be doing that. because if he doesn't get this one right, I don't think he's picking a third coach.
Right. And I just wonder if they can – like, how picky is he as wanting a job?
He's willing Gromberg, to take, yeah, right.
If he's willing to take the St. Cloud State job, that would make me think that an NHL job –
because he wants to get back to the States.
Right. But then right. an NHL job, he'd say, sure, sounds great.
The only other
– and Rasmus Dahlin, one would think, would be a big-time
yes.
feather in your cap.
Well, I think that's – if you wanted to draw lines, you know, you could connect the dots, if you will. Obviously, there's a heavy Swedish contingent in this organization, not only here, but also in Rochester. So, you know, he would have worked with a few of these guys, I would assume, crossing paths in his time in Sweden. The only other team, I think Ottawa was mentioned briefly as a team that might be interested in Granberg. It's funny, I saw an interview with him at a blog, basically an Anaheim Ducks blog site. So I don't know that they would be talking to him, but I saw Ottawa mentioned as another possibility with Granberg. And, I guess I would wonder if Bottrell sees it as a gamble. And is it a risk, if it is, he's willing to take? Or is he looking for a guy that's been in the league? The negative on Granberg is that, obviously, he has not coached in North America professional hockey. He's coached, I know he was in Spokane. I thought he was an assistant on the collegiate level. Anyway, he hasn't coached, been a head coach on the pro level in North America or even an assistant in the AHL or the NHL. That would be the biggest negative on the resume for Rickard Granberg right now. And I don't know how much that would matter to Jason Bottrell. I'm not in his head, so I couldn't tell you. But that's the book on Rickard Granberg. Probably wouldn't be available until mid-May anyway. Not that it matters.
How long can this, with the Sabres, really kind of go on? You know, just... I guess it can go until June. That's when they hired Phil Housley. It was mm-hmm. June
right.
15th.
Right.
So it's, you know.
Well, Rochester could be eliminated tomorrow if he wants Taylor.
And if there's movement on Taylor, then I guess that's the guy. But if mm-hmm. there's not movement on Chris Taylor.
Then if Rochester's eliminated tomorrow and we don't hear anything by the end of the week, then Bottrell must have other guys he's thinking about.
It's also going to be difficult to, maybe I shouldn't say that. If your AHL coach who you hire as the replacement gets swept out in the American Hockey League playoffs, is that the kind of thing that makes it where you can't have him have the job? Or is it because he knows the players, they've started to build something? Yeah. The whole idea is to win in Rochester.
Right.
They made the playoffs, and to be swept out or even to lose in the first round would be kind of tough.
I still think, you know, with the development of, I would think they would be happy with how players were developing in Rochester. And I still think that if Taylor doesn't get the job here, it could be in large part because they value him in Rochester. They want him being the first guy that their prospects deal with when they sign professionally and come over from Europe or come out of colleges or, you know, the Canadian Hockey League, wherever. I think there's a value to having that guy there if they feel he's done a really good job developing players. I guess the only thing I would wonder also is, in terms of timing, is there anybody he's waiting on that's on a staff of a team that's playing? That is, you know, you mentioned last time they waited for Housley. Well, who's left? The first round's not completely done. Is there an assistant coach on a team that's currently playing that he's really excited about and is willing to wait on? And there's no, I mean, you don't have to rush to name your coach. It's not like you do anything and you don't need a coach right now. It doesn't really matter. You know, you could let the coach wait as long as you want, I suppose, into the summer. So I guess I'd be curious if there's a guy on a team that he's sitting on, waiting for this team to get eliminated from the postseason, and that could take him to early June.
If that were the case, wouldn't we know a name?
It's been pretty quiet.
And who would it be? The good teams have been knocked out.
Yeah. Well, you don't know who, you know, Bottrell could like anybody. We have no idea what. There could be an assistant with Columbus, I don't know, that he could have crossed paths with or just has been a fan of from a distance, you know, could have admired while he was coming up in the Pittsburgh organization in their front office, and maybe he admired this assistant coach for his. I mean, it could be anybody on these rosters.
You know, if we're getting really into the weeds in the Sabres, you know what concerns me more than who's their coach? How are they going to make me want to go to games?
Roster surgery.
But how?
Yeah, well, that's...
What does it look like? Yeah. What does that team look like on October 5th that makes me want to go to those games? That says what has happened is not okay. Last year, there was a letter from the owner that said the mm-hmm. standard needs to change.
Yeah.
And then they went out and had not a worse year in the standings, but they had a disaster happen. And I just want to know what they're going to do for their fans.
Free hot dogs. I would say
I mentioned fan appreciation season, and I wasn't kidding. Like, what are they going to do? Well, they've got as big a job of hiring a coach and changing their roster as they do figuring out how to make those games fun. I think winning will do it, but it's more than that. You know, you've got to do a little bit of work down there, and I just, what are you going to do?
Well, you're bringing up two separate topics. I think one is the hockey side of things, which can tie into how you make your fans happy. And the other is, when it comes to fans and what do you do for the fans, what are you doing with ticket prices? Hopefully you're not raising them. I'm not sure what in-arena improvements you could do from a physical standpoint between now and next season. Maybe you could get some of that stuff done. You've done a study, right? You've done a study about improvements at the arena. You've had survey groups talk to you about that, and, of course, the football stadium. So can you do any improvements in there? Can you lower concession prices? Can you make the fan experience better? You can do all sorts of stuff like that from the fan side. I think there are going to be at least, what, half a dozen new faces? Maybe that's conservative. I think at least
there have been new faces, at least half a dozen new faces each of the last 2 years.
I think it's 10 each of the last 2 years.
Right, so new faces doesn't do it.
Well,
you can't just say new faces.
Well, then what else do you want them to do?
That's what I'm waiting to find out.
Then it's freeze your ticket prices and lower your concessions.
That's more than that.
Then what else?
The games have to be fun.
Well, how do you make the games fun if you don't have a good roster? I mean, you're talking game presentation, you're talking
everything.
Giveaways,
you're talking
in-arena entertainment.
Everything.
Well, yeah, okay, but I'm talking about now, I said that you can do stuff for the fans, but ultimately it comes down to what's the hockey department going to do to make the roster better? I would think there'll be at least a half a dozen new faces. Hopefully that makes you excited about the guys they bring in.
No, new faces aren't exciting. Who the faces are.
Well, that's what I said, who they bring in. Right. If they re-sign Skinner, that would help. If they bring in a big-name free agent, if they bring in Matt Duchene,
I'm not even sure how much Skinner would help right now.
Well, I would feel better about it.
I'm not – the buzz of re-signing Skinner, yeah, that'll be interesting. If they announced that today,
I'm happy.
Are people calling to celebrate?
No, but I'm happy. If he's not back, that's a big freaking hole. Even if he doesn't get 40, if he just gets 30 around here, that's news. You know, it's not like this team has been like loaded with 30 goal scorers in the last 10 years. If he doesn't sign, I'm happy if he signs, because if he doesn't, you just added a big thing to Jason Botterill's list. His list, which was already long enough, got even longer.
Yeah, but I also have $8 million to spend on it.
Okay.
Whatever that thing that would replace Jeff Skinner might be.
Okay, but that guy was.
I'm not. You know, I'm not saying I would be okay. I don't want Skinner back, but yeah. I'm not about to be devastated if he leaves.
Devastated is a strong word, but of course it opens up another big hole. I mean, this was the best goal scorer you had on your roster, and he's gone now mm-hmm. on a team that wasn't gifted offensively as a group anyway. So yeah, if he's not back, I'm great. Now where are you going to find this? Hey, who's on Jack's line now? You know, there's a big hole on the left side. So, I mean, I hope he signs. I want him back. I think that's obviously an area that would be a problem for the Sabres if he goes elsewhere. And how do you replace that? I don't even know how you replace that. I don't even know if there's a guy in Rochester or if it's two or three guys that are up from Rochester next year that combine to get 40 goals. I have no idea. I don't think Olofsson replaces it by himself.
Have you seen the mascot, the Easter Bunny that got in a fight?
Heard about it. Didn't see it.
See the video?
I know it was on Twitter yesterday. I just didn't stop to take time to watch it.
Let me pull it up for you, and I'll show it to you. But I have a hot take on the Easter Bunny fight video. The Easter Bunny got into a brawl. Where was it? Do you know where it was?
I didn't even click on it. Okay. I saw it scrolling through my through Twitter yesterday. I didn't stop to see.
Okay. Easter Bunny fight. It was Orlando. An Orlando street fight with the Easter Bunny. Here's the video. I'm showing you the video. I'm going to claim that this is fake, and I'm going to give you one reason that the whole thing is fake.
Oh, they did it for views?
No, well, you never know. It's a street fight.
A lot of people were taken.
With a guy in the Easter Bunny outfit. Now, I've never fought in a mascot costume, right? Which is what the Easter Bunny's doing here.
Does it hurt if you got a guy in a costume punching as opposed to bare knuckles?
I would think that the punches still hurt.
Okay, I was curious.
But
he's got these fuzzy hands.
Agree or disagree? If you are if you're dressed as the Easter Bunny and stuff starts to go down, I mean, he's hammering this guy.
Do we know what led to that, by the way?
No.
Okay. Because I would wonder what would lead an Easter Bunny to go and fight a guy.
Maybe his friends were whatever.
Okay.
If you're really getting after it in a fight, mm-hmm. isn't the Easter Bunny in that spot taking the head off?
Well, maybe you figure it's protection.
No, you have to stay in character.
You take the head off to fight.
I don't know. No, you don't stay in character.
No, you definitely do.
No, you, why would you worry about staying in character? He's not a Disney World character. He's just a guy in a bunny.
They have to stay in character.
He's just a guy in a bunny suit. Yeah, they have to actually throw up in the costume if they're going to puke.
Yeah, because they can't be seen with their heads off. Right. Yeah.
Why isn't this guy taking the head off? He is throwing haymakers left and right, and it's got to be.
Maybe the punches won't hurt as much if it's hitting the bunny head.
Well, he's not getting punched.
He was just unloading on the other guy?
Yeah, he is wailing away on a guy that's down. I watched this and thought, you got to take the head off.
Maybe the hat is kind of sealed on or connected in a way that he had to, it doesn't just come off. Maybe there's, I don't know. Having never worn a mascot suit, I don't think I'm qualified.
Am I too skeptical here?
I'd like to know what led to that.
A guy in an Easter Bunny suit. It just.
Did he try and steal the basket
of
eggs?
The guys in the fight don't press charges, and they got the viral video. I don't know. What's the word? I'm jaded on this one. Orlando, Florida. Person dressed as the Easter Bunny jumps into the middle of a fight between two people.
Oh, so there was a fight going on, and the bunny jumped into it.
Yes.
So maybe the bunny was playing peacemaker and lost his temper.
No.
Were you?
No, you said there was a fight between two other people.
Yeah.
And then the bunny joined the fight.
Yes.
Why did the bunny join?
Started throwing punches on one of the guys.
Okay, why did the bunny join the fight?
To get to the other side. I don't know.
Of course. Maybe they're having a debate about best Disney characters.
I think it's great that he left the bunny suit intact. It provides for a better quality video and a good laugh.
The bunny get arrested?
Texters write in, the bunny is smart. You can't get in trouble if they can't see your face. I feel like once the cops are there,
like
they're going to take
remove it. Right.
Unless you glued it on there. And
what's your name? Bugs. Bugs Bunny. Got it. Okay. Your residence? Rabbit Hole.
Corey tweets, and it looks like the bunny's jumping in to help out a woman. He's blasting a dude. Maybe he's trying to snatch her purse. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like if you're really invested in that fight and you're the do-gooder, the bunny head comes off so you can see your target that you're going to be wailing on.
Yeah,
that's,
I guess would
just,
it be
that's my take on it.
Of course, the guy's how much does he have to see? The guy is down on the ground, he's just kind of raining punches.
Have
right?
you ever had a mascot head on?
No.
You can't see.
But if he's holding on to the guy and
he's
just
not
kinda,
holding on. He's all over him. Oh. He's moving around. He's
how was he able to see?
That's what I'm saying.
You could say that bunny was in a hairy situation. I'll show myself out.
Please do. Maybe he was all hopped up on carrots. Should have used this for headlines. 803-0550, join us.
Bunny fight headlines. Hold on.
Come on.
I want to work on a good one here. No, whatever.
I'm trying to think about it. I don't know why Carrot Top just came into my
head. Yeah, Justin writes in. Anyone who's ever worn a mascot costume knows you can barely see out of those things. That's what I thought. I've never gone full mascot costume.
So the first thing you
would
do.
I have put a head on. And if you put a head on, you can't see. I can't believe you'd be punching like that unless the entire goal was to create a viral video with you in a bunny costume throwing punches.
Well, it worked.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be as funny if the guy took the head off, right? It looks better on video with a bunny fighting a guy than a guy with a bunny costume but no head on. Who needs that? Let's give away some stuff. We've got, what do you want to do, Brayton? Which giveaway do you want here? Thank you. We have a pair of tickets to see Wiz Khalifa. Sunday, July 21st, Darien Lake Amphitheater. Minimum value of the prize, $60. Courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. You can try and win tickets right now by calling 644-9878. Again, 644-9878. Win them before you can buy them. Tickets are on sale Friday morning at livenation.com. But call now for your chance to win a pair of tickets. Again, 644-9878. Make sure you call the contest line. Brayton will give a pair of tickets to caller 5 and a pair of tickets to caller 6.
you know, Todd and I kind of go back and forth. Todd was thinking Hockenson, and we looked at Hockenson as a guy. I think you look at Ed Oliver if you want to go defensive line, if he's there. You look at Jonah Williams, the offensive lineman from Alabama, if you want a left tackle, right tackle, guard. So I think Jonah would have to be in the discussion. He's a heck of a football player, and obviously you want to go into this draft with the emphasis being on helping Josh Allen. Obviously, don't forget about the defense, because the defense will have to step up even more now that the offense will improve.
And it's ESPN's Mel Kiper talking draft with.
Is that right? The defense has to step up even more now that the offense improves. Isn't the opposite true?
Yeah, no, the defense was good last year.
I mean, when your offense is really good, your defense has a lot more room for error.
Defense has to improve their pass rush, but they were top, what, five defense last year? So, I think that's the whole theme of the offseason. The offense has to step up because they just signed 14 players in free agency, and I'm pretty sure they're going to add guys in the draft. Let's get you. We'll talk more draft in a moment with Luke Easterling. First, your headlines. Carolina beat Washington last night 5-2 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that series is tied at 3. Game 7 on Caps Ice tomorrow night. The Stars move on to round 2. They bounced out Nashville 2-1 in overtime last night in Game 6. Dallas and the Blues in the next round. Toronto plays Boston tonight. It is Game 7. Deja vu. These two teams met in 7 games last year in Boston. And the Bruins prevailed. They met in 2013, but most of the Leafs that are on this team were not on that team. 7 o'clock game there. Vegas and San Jose, 10 o'clock start. Milwaukee finishes off a sweep of the Pistons in NBA playoff action last night. So the Bucks will meet Boston in the next round. The Jazz win, but still trail the Rockets 3-1 in that series. The Yankees beat the Angels 4-3 in 14 innings. Mets beat the Phillies. Clean MRI for Jacob deGrom. So he is on schedule to pitch for Friday in Friday's game for the Mets. And the Bisons lost at Syracuse. Our NHL playoff scoreboard in our headlines was brought to you by Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys.
Got two things. Got an update on the bunny fight, the bunny street fight. The bunny was defending a woman who apparently had been spat on.
Okay.
And he also did an interview, and the bunny head doesn't come off easily. So that's why
so
he didn't
was
take
stuck with it. Okay. Yeah. The bunny did an interview.
All
that's
right.
Good.
We also had he stuck it on anyway, even if it
do the interview with the head.
We
on.
Had some texters saying the bunny gave him a real thumping, and that he was just protecting his peeps.
That's good. I like
and
those.
And of
good.
Course, he was throwing rabbit punches.
Yeah, not haymakers.
Right.
Protecting his peeps. I think that's good. That's good. I like that
right.
one. Yeah.
I also had one more tweet I wanted to get to, if you don't mind. Joe wrote in that I'm very cranky and not talking rationally today about the Sabres. And I think
you are cranky. Yeah.
I am cranky.
Yes, there's definitely you've been cranky for a while now about the Sabres.
Yeah.
I wish I could help you, man.
I know.
I wish I could help you. I offered to come over. You can come
I'm
over
sorry.
For burgers and dogs.
He probably means when I said I don't really care if they re-sign Skinner.
You're just in a bad place.
Yeah.
I kind of
so bad.
I'm emerging from my bad place.
And
I reserve the right to go back.
Every single playoff game and every single time I watch Carolina score a goal at home with their bunch of jerks. I just think it gets darker.
I'm sorry.
I get darker and darker. Hey, look at this. The Stars. When did they fire their coach? When did they get a new coach?
Jim Montgomery is in year. Is
this
year one for him?
Yeah.
This is year one.
His first year as a coach.
Very
first year as a coach. They fired a guy. They had Ken Hitchcock take over for 20 minutes. They hired a new guy. They're in the playoffs. They spent some time blaming their good players. They're fine. They went around. They can beat Nashville. Hey, look at that. It's former bad-for-the-room guy Tyler Seguin making a great play. Hey, look at that. It's former bad-for-the-room guy Alexander Radulov feeding John Klingberg on the overtime winner. You're right. I'm cranky. I'm sorry. I apologize to all of you for being cranky.
We'll try and cheer you up. On our Wester hotline, we'll talk a little NFL draft with Luke Easterling. Luke is the editor of DraftWire for USA Today.
The draft doesn't have me cranky. I told you, I can't even be. I can't envision getting mad at the Bills.
Trade up to two.
Unless they trade next year's
and
first.
And take a defensive tackle. Luke, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Well, I was doing fine until you guys started talking hockey. So if it makes you feel any better, I'm a diehard Lightning fan. So I'm down here in the sorrowful slums with everybody else.
Yeah, but at least you were in the playoffs.
Yeah. So you had some fun after
the
New
Year.
We
had a little fun along the way, but boy, did it end quickly and badly.
Hey, if there's any guys you want to boot off the roster there and send them up here, we're all ears, just so you know.
I think we have a 40-goal scorer or two around here somewhere laying around the couch cushions. I don't know.
All right, send them up. The draft, I obviously want to talk to you, Luke, about the Bills, but I did want to get your thoughts right off the top on the quarterbacks. And what do you think about Kyler Murray? Is he your number one quarterback in the draft? Let me start there.
He's not my number one quarterback, but he's close. I put out my final rankings, my overall rankings for the draft yesterday, and I have him at number 6 overall, but I have Dwayne Haskins at number 5. So there's not a whole lot splitting them in terms of my grades. It's really just going to come down to what team, you know, prefers which quarterback. Obviously, you know, Kyler Murray has more scrambling ability. It doesn't mean he's not a great pocket passer, which he absolutely is, regardless of his height or whatever the narrative may be. He's a fantastic passer from the pocket. I think that Dwayne Haskins is a little bit better of a pocket passer. I think that he doesn't obviously give you the athleticism, but on the football field last year, he was the best all-around quarterback, performed in big games. I saw a stat yesterday, I think, that against top 25 defenses in college football last year, Dwayne Haskins had 10 touchdown passes, no interceptions, and those same defenses had opposing quarterbacks throw basically like 30 touchdowns and 36 or 37 interceptions. So against big defenses in big games and big moments, Dwayne Haskins shows up, and that's what you're going to have to do to be successful at the next level. So it's kind of splitting hairs for me, but Dwayne Haskins is still the top quarterback to me.
I wanted to ask you – go ahead, Jeremy.
I want to ask, in context with last year's quarterbacks, we were talking about this a little bit, that I don't know if it's tougher for me to – get in on this group because the Bills aren't looking for one. But when you look at this year's class of quarterbacks versus last year's class of quarterbacks, if you're an impartial observer, is it less talented, less interesting, less compelling? Where would these guys stack up with last year's 5 first-rounders?
Yeah, I like last year's class much better, both in terms of top talent and in terms of the overall depth. I think that, you know, when you have guys like Josh Allen being, you know, the third or fourth quarterback off the board, and guys like Baker Mayfield coming in and having an instant impact and kind of transforming the culture and the success in Cleveland. You got Sam Darnold, who's got a bright future, obviously, in New York. So many players that I think would grade more highly than the top quarterbacks in this class. I think that I'd have probably at least 2 or 3 guys ahead of both Murray and Haskins if they were to combine those classes.
Last year with the quarterbacks, there was a lot of movement for teams to get up. Now, some of it was pre-draft, like the Bills and the Jets, but teams were moving, Cardinals, to move up to get their guy. Do you think we're going to see that kind of activity? Do you anticipate trades? I can tie this into the Bills. The Bills at 9, you know, would they get offers because you're going to see teams wanting to move up to get their quarterback?
Yeah, it is going to all depend on, I think, on where Kyler Murray goes. I think if he goes number 1 and you're a team that needs a quarterback, obviously I think that gives you a little more urgency. If you're targeting a guy like Haskins, maybe it's Drew Lock from Missouri, maybe it's even Daniel Jones from Duke. If one of those guys is your guy, if the earlier that first quarterback goes off the board, the more nervous those teams will probably get. And you know, those teams, I'm talking about the Giants at 6, I'm talking about Cincinnati probably at 11, maybe Miami at 13, and Washington at 15. Denver at 10 might be a wild card in there. They've been, you know, pretty gung-ho on Joe Flacco still being their starter for the foreseeable future, but you know, they're a wild card that could use a young franchise quarterback to develop too. So it's just going to depend on when that quarterback run starts, because the position is just so important that teams are going to have to be willing to, it's not overpaying if it's the market rate, but you know, they're going to have to be willing to shell out some serious draft resources if they want to move up and get their guy.
Luke, when you look at the Bills and you look at 9, assuming they stay there, we've been talking about pass rushers. We've been talking about offensive line. We've been bringing up, you know, the tight ends. Maybe get a guy like Hockenson, wide receiver. Ideally, in the Bills' world, what would their pick be at 9?
Man, what a great spot for them to be in, and what a great draft class. You've got such depth on the edge and interior defensive linemen as well. You've got, that's probably the range where those first offensive tackles are going to come off the board if they want to continue to rebuild that O-line. I know they've added quite a few veteran pieces in free agency, but I still think they could use, you know, a blue chip offensive tackle prospect to pair with Dawkins, obviously. You know, but, you know, then you're talking about weapons. If this draft is about surrounding Josh Allen with as many weapons as possible and as much help as possible, both up front and at the skill position, you know, 9 is a place where you could see DK Metcalf from Ole Miss. You could see Hockenson or even Noah Fant, the other Iowa tight end. I think what all this is pointing to is something you mentioned earlier. If they're able to bait another team into doing what they did last year when they traded up to 7 with Tampa Bay, if they're able to pull that move in reverse and get a team to move up to 9, they could move back to 11 or 13 or even 15 and still end up with a stud prospect at any one of those positions we just mentioned. You could get Ed Oliver from Houston. You could get Christian Wilkins, the defensive lineman from Clemson. You could get Cleveland Farrell, the edge rusher from Clemson. You could end up with Montez Sweat if he's not off their board due to the health issues with the heart. I know there's been some talk that some teams are, you know, kind of removing him over those concerns. So we'll see about that. But there's just so much talent on the board at all those positions that the Bills need. If they're able to move back, get a couple extra picks, and still get a instant quality starter, I think that's their best scenario.
How deep are the pass rushers? Again, if the Bills wanted to move back, you brought up some names here a moment ago. How far back could they move and still get a really good pass rusher, whether it's an interior presence or an edge guy?
I think 15 is that sweet spot. I think if they're able to move back anywhere in that range, where Washington again could move up for a quarterback, Miami at 13, Cincinnati at 11, all those teams make sense. But I feel like I could go back to 15, still end up with maybe Farrell from Clemson. If you want an interior guy, a guy that I'm really high on, Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame. He's 6'7", 300 plus, really versatile guy that can move around. I think a defensive minded coach like Sean McDermott would love to have that kind of guy. Obviously, you're missing Kyle Williams now. You would love to have a presence like that to replace him. I just think, you know, whether they stay a nine or move back, the way this class is built is really going to give the Bills a ton of options. And it won't be surprising, again, if McDermott prefers to go defense with that first pick just to get the blue chip talent and then spend the rest of the draft, the majority of it, building around Josh Allen.
What do you think about Hockenson and Fant? And if let's just play a what if that it came down to those two guys, which one should the Bills grab?
It really comes down to what you want them to do in your scheme, because they are pretty interchangeable. They were at Iowa in terms of, you know, what they were asked to do. But in terms of their overall skill set, I think Fant's probably the better vertical threat in terms of being a pure pass catcher and a playmaker in the passing game. Obviously, Hockenson is fantastic in that area as well. He's a little bit of a more well-rounded guy. He's a little bit better blocker. So if you want him to do more traditional, you know, wide tight end duties of staying in line more often and blocking, not that Fant can't do those things. It's just that's where they separate themselves a little bit from one another. So it really just comes down to whatever the Bills want their guy to do. But both of those guys are worthy of top 15 picks, in my opinion.
Luke Easterling with us. I wanted to throw you a quick Buffalo question. I'm just going through your list of your top 300 prospects. I saw you got Tyree Jackson at 88. Okay, I found Anthony Johnson. Tyree Jackson and Anthony Johnson, where do you slot them going? I assume, maybe day two for Tyree?
Yeah, I tell you where I love Tyree. I'd love to see him go to the Chargers on day two. I'd love to see him in the third round, go put him behind Phillip Rivers for a year or two, let him kind of round out those rough edges in his game, because nobody has his arm strength in this draft class. I love his intelligence, the way he approaches the game. He, you know, when you have that trump card in terms of arm talent, you know, you would love to see him with a veteran, an experienced veteran, who's also an incredibly tall guy, incredibly great and gifted leader, you know, a guy that could really take him under his wing and help him develop from a veteran perspective. I'd love to see him land in Los Angeles. And Anthony Johnson, I think, just had such an unfortunate situation this year with the injuries, wasn't able to play at the level that we saw him play the year before. And I think that if he's able to stay healthy at the next level, because this receiver class is so deep, if he's still on the board in the third, fourth round, I think a team's really going to get a steal, because he's a guy that I thought would have been in the day two conversation if he had stayed healthy all year.
He is the editor of the DraftWire, draftwire.usatoday.com. You can also follow Luke on Twitter, at Luke Easterling, for all the draft information. Luke, thanks for giving us some time this morning, and enjoy the draft.
Hey, always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Have a good day. Try to see if we can get some Tampa Lightning players from him, too, next time I chat with him. Luke Easterling joining us on our West Her Hotline as we talk NFL draft with you, too. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. The biggest need for the Bills going into the draft, what do you think it is? Christian says edge, D-line, who can pressure the quarterback, is their biggest need. You can share your thoughts. We're going to talk a little hockey coming up top of the hour. Randy Sexton will join us, GM of the Rochester Americans. They're down 2-0 in their playoff series with Toronto. We'll be talking about some of the young guys on the farm, projecting them out for next season. All that stuff coming up in just a few minutes on WGR. Of course, we're talking NFL draft here on WGR, and I have an NFL draft quick trivia question to get in. It's kind of a trip down memory lane / instant trivia for us.
Okay.
Brayton, you can get involved too.
Is it going to be easy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So you and I have been working together since.
Is this every first round pick since we've been together?
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
Can you get it in chronological order?
Ooh.
Front to back, back to front.
First is 2005's draft.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm going to have to work backwards.
There's a little... I don't want to give you any clue. Do you want a little clue to start things off?
Sure.
Because 2005, there's a little twist.
They didn't have one.
Correct. They remember they had drafted JP. So
yeah.
Our first draft together, there was no first round pick. Okay. I can give you the GM. Would that help you? Who the
Hang
GM
on.
Was at the time or the pick number?
I'm going to try and work my way backwards.
Okay. So you're going to go from last year's going back.
Yes. So last year is 2018. Tremaine Edmonds and Josh Allen.
Correct.
2017 is Tre'Davious White.
Okay, right. At pick number 27 overall.
2016 is Shaq Lawson.
At 19 overall.
2015.
We're now in the Doug Whaley regime.
But Shaq Lawson is Rex's.
Yes, Rex was coaching.
Rex's second first round pick.
Correct.
His first round pick. 2015. Would have been.
Don't overthink this.
I'm not overthinking. I'm just thinking. 2014 is Sammy Watkins.
So 2015 was.
They don't have one.
Correct.
Okay. 2013 is EJ Manuel.
16th overall, the first quarterback taken in the draft that year. Doing good, man.
Okay. 2012.
Almost halfway there.
EJ Manuel. So EJ is Marone's first year of picks.
Yeah, we are now in the Buddy Nix's last, well, Buddy's last draft was technically manual, so the Buddy Nix is the GM for the 2010
2012.
Draft. 2012, I'm sorry. What the number pick it was?
Somewhere between 8 and 13.
I think I know.
It was.
I think I remember this one.
It was number 10.
It's a matter of whether or not there's someone between Stephon Gilmore and Manuel or not. Gilmore is 2012?
Yeah, no, it's Gilmore.
Stephon Gilmore, very good. 10th overall in 2012.
Okay. Hey, look, it's between 8 and 13.
Hang on. I'll
2011. Where's CJ Spiller in this? He's 2010,
no, that's later.
2009?
That's later. CJ's 2010. Correct.
Okay, well, I didn't get... So in between CJ Spiller and Stephon Gilmore... Hold on.
They were really bad.
Marcell Dareus.
Yep.
Marcell Dareus is 2011. Okay, now I'm back in order, and now I think I can finish this out. In 2009... Oh, I just had a guy in my head.
We did this draft together at a local restaurant establishment.
Dante Whitner. Excuse me. You said we did this draft at a local restaurant, and Dante Whitner was 2008, and we did do that draft together at a local restaurant.
Hang on. Whitner was 06.
Oh, 06.
Well, and we were at a restaurant for 06, but we were also at a restaurant in 2009.
All right, well, you screwed me up with your clues.
I'm sorry. 2009, then.
2008, by the way, is Eric Wood, among others, because they had two first-round picks.
Mm-hmm. And the first one was, at pick 11...
Leotis McKelvin?
Correct.
So that's 2008.
2009.
2009.
Is,
there's a good reason why you forgot this pick.
Aaron Maben.
Yep. Thank you very much. Very forgettable.
And 2007, between Whitner and McKelvin, they went Whitner and McCargo. Did they not have one in 2007?
They had a pick.
They
12th overall.
Marshawn.
Very good. So they had six picks between 8 and 13 in the time we've been together. If you're curious, it's 14 players, six on offense, eight on defense, a couple quarterbacks, a couple running backs, an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, three D linemen, one linebacker, and four defensive backs. That would be the draft history. For you and
well,
I.
Thank you.
And two no picks.
See what Russell Wilson is giving his offensive lineman as a gift?
Yeah, that's a nice gift.
It is a nice gift. Is it better than a watch?
What's it valued at right now? Yeah, it's got to be more valuable than it. Well, it depends what kind of watch you get,
well,
I guess.
He gave them $12,000 in stock.
Oh, it was just flat. Here's $12,000 worth of Amazon right now. Yeah.
In Amazon stock.
Which could go up, obviously.
Could. You can sell if you want and get your $12,000 and buy yourself something nice. Or you
I'd
can
rather
just hang
have the
it.
Stock than the watch. I think the stock's a nice gift.
It'll probably be worth something when they take over the world.
Amazon or the Seahawks?
Amazon.
Okay. 803.
I'm not so sure I like the Seahawks' chances.
803-0550 to join us. Good, because I would hate those green uniforms if they took over the world. We will talk some hockey when we get back. Amherst GM Randy Sexton on the way next. You can talk to us on the draft. 803-0550. What is the Bills' biggest need going into the draft? You can let us know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.